in the lives of our students. And it was interesting what Brother Jorge said, and boy, I can really relate to what you said, because when I came through the doors of Teen Challenge 21 years ago, I was broke. I had no money, I had no insurance, and I was in a pretty dark place in my life. The average cost of a student to house them, to feed them, take care of them per month at Long Island Teen Challenge is about $2,200 a month. Think about that. We have 100 plus, you know, staff students who are there. When I called Teen Challenge 21 years ago, I had nothing. And nobody said, well, I'm sorry, we can't help you because you have no money or you can't get support. But they took me in as I was with nothing. And for 14 months, well, actually for me, it was 15 and a half months, but that's another reason. They nurtured me and taught me the precepts and the Word of God, and helped raise me up to be the man of God that I am today. So if you know someone who needs help, you know, I think the most we've ever asked any student who can, because maybe their family can help them and support them, is like $450 a month. But the majority of our students come to us with nothing, and we'll never turn them away, because we know that we serve a God who the Bible says owns the cattle on the thousand hills, amen? And who is our supplier, who's our provider. It's because of this church and your pastors and people like you that give sacrificially and give. And because of your giving, you heard some of the testimonies today of how faithful God is. And this morning, I have a quick thought that I want to share with you. And the verse that I want to read from is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 15. It's only 8 words, so you don't have to even open if you don't want to. I'll read it to you. The Apostle Paul pens these very powerful words. And the Lord dropped this word on my heart this week as I was praying and preparing to be with you this morning. The Apostle Paul says, thanks be unto God. Let's say that. Thanks be unto God for this indescribable gift. And our prayer, and I hope that every single one of you had a merry and a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. Amen. Did you? How many of you are excited for what God has in store for 2016? I know I am. 2015 was a year of ups and downs, as every year is, but as Rosie shared this morning, I know that the best is yet to come, and 2016 is going to be a wonderful year for me, my family, our ministry, and for our students, and I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing. But Paul says, thanks be unto God for this indescribable gift. And if you're anything like me around the holiday times, especially around Christmas time, you probably put a lot of thought, a lot of anxiety, a lot of concern into getting that special gift for that special loved one or someone close to you in your life. Anyone else here, when Christmas comes, you're like, oh my gosh, where am I going to get my husband? I'm married for 18 wonderful years. I have 3 amazing children. My oldest son, Josiah, is here. Wave, Josiah. He's here with me today. So Christmas time for me can be a time of anxiety. It can be a time of, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to get my wife? Because we all want to give that perfect gift, right, to that special loved one. And I have 3 children, so, you know, I try my best to get them that special gift, that meaningful gift. You know, and I began to think about it, because as I read these words here by the Apostle Paul, he says, you know, thanks be unto God for that indescribable gift. I thought about it. I said, well, I wonder what kind of gift I would have to receive for it to be considered an indescribable gift. Think about it. What is an indescribable gift for you? And I'm talking about a gift that is like beyond our comprehension. What kind of gift would that be? You know, would it be a gift that maybe it's something that is so beautiful, something that you've wanted your whole entire life? You've always wanted this special thing, and you never got it before, but then one day on Christmas morning, you receive that gift. Or maybe it's a gift that carries a lot of emotional ties to it. You know, perhaps it was a gift that was made by your children. And although it be a little picture or a little card, something that they made for you in school, whatever, it carries a lot of weight. And it's indescribable because you know it was made from the hands of your children. Is it a gift that is given to you by someone very special? And it caught you off guard. It was a complete surprise. You know, what would it have to be for you to receive something and say, wow, this gift is indescribable? Well, I saw on Good Morning America recently where Joan London gave a list of some pretty indescribable gifts for the upcoming year. And I want to just kind of just read you a couple of these gifts that some people might call indescribable. I mean, they were definitely extraordinary. And perhaps you might want to take some notes and you could add these gifts to your Christmas list next year. All right? Number one thing that she mentioned was a Jaguar 220. A Jaguar 220. And really, it's nothing, you know, it's not that big of a deal. All you have to do is put down an $80,000 deposit. And when the car was delivered to your home, you pay the remaining $520,000 note on it. And that car can be yours, especially for the holiday times. And they only make about 250 of these vehicles per year, they said. Pretty extraordinary gift. Some of you might say, you know something, I would love that gift. And that might be considered an indescribable gift. And of course, if you can afford a $600,000 car, the next gift probably isn't much to you either. It is a $3,400 can of car wax. It's an 8-ounce thing of car wax that guarantees to give your car the ultimate shine. And you might be like, $3,400 for a can of car wash? Don't complain. If you can afford a $600,000 car, I don't think a $3,400 can of car wash is that out of the extraordinary. Also, she mentioned, how about this one? I got a kick out of this one. A $300,000 gold and silver toilet seat inlaid with precious stones. I'm a big sporting nut. And I go to a lot of sporting events, and I like to sit, because that's what I can afford, in the cheap seats. This is not considered a cheap seat, amen? This is a $300,000 toilet seat. So maybe that is something that you might want to put on your list for that special loved one next year. And of course, if you're living on a budget and you can't afford these extravagant gifts, there are some cheaper gifts for you and I, like an $18,000 Frisbee, a $10,000 yo-yo, a $12,000 mousetrap, a $27,000 pair of sunglasses, and for that proud grandparent who was looking for that special gift to give your proud grandchild, how about a $28,000 pacifier? Crazy, right? These gifts are mind-boggling and, to me, a waste of money. But to be honest, they're not indescribable, because even though I can't find the words to describe them or the money to purchase them, every human gift is describable by somebody. But see, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 15, Paul here is writing about human gifts. He's writing about physical, tangible, monetary gifts, because the church here in Corinth is raising some money. They're raising funds and gifts to give to the poor people in Jerusalem. And Paul here is commending them for their willingness to give, for their eagerness to help, for their sacrifice as they invest into people less fortunate. And he reminds them, he says, you remember, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but those who sow generously will reap generously. But then he shifts his attention at the very end of this chapter from human gifts, from money and items and possessions, to the greatest gift ever. And that is the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of you are thankful for that gift? You know? And it's interesting how Paul uses the words indescribable, because there are many times I've tried to share Christ with my family, and I've tried to share Christ with someone who walks into Teen Challenge or a family member or someone I come into on the street, and I feel so many times that I did a terrible job describing who Jesus is, because it's hard with our finite minds and our beings to describe such an awesome and a powerful God with our words. And Paul understood that. Paul says, listen, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, because Paul didn't even have the words to write to describe how good God had been to him and to the church. Thank God for this indescribable gift. And you want to know the best gift that I ever received was when I thought about the indescribable gift. It was a gift that was given to me on June 20th of 1995. And it was the day that I walked into the doors of Long Island Teen Challenge. And it was the day where my counselor, and I'll never forget who he was, a guy named by the name of Barry Ponton, who's no longer with us. He went home to be with the Lord. But he looked at me in the eyes, and he shared with me the greatest message that I had ever heard. Because I came in struggling with an 8-year crack cocaine addiction and an alcohol addiction. I came in destitute, lost, hurting, and as Jorge said, I had no hope. I mean, I literally felt like there was nothing I could do, that there was no one that could help me. I had nothing to give. My mom who raised three boys as a single parent growing up when my dad left when I was 10. Basically was at her wit's end. Lily had to just lock the door and say, listen, you're not welcome here. And I remember just the emptiness, the hurt that I was feeling. And I literally felt like there was nothing that was going to change my life. Then one day someone gave me, I don't know if it was a pamphlet or a phone number of a place called Teen Challenge. And I remember I was told to go speak to a local pastor. I'm from Hampton Bays, out in the Hamptons. So, you're born and raised. And I remember going to this little church out in Hampton Bays, and this pastor shared with me the message of Jesus and the hope that Teen Challenge could do. And it was June 21st of 1995 that I walked through. See, the greatest gift that I received, it wasn't a car. It wasn't a large check. It wasn't a gift that I've always wanted. It wasn't a vacation. But it was Jesus Christ coming into my heart and wiping away my sins and giving me a clean slate where I could stand before him, not because I'm righteous, because of what I had to offer, because I had nothing to offer him. But he took me and he received me just as I was. And here I am today to give God glory and praise, because really that's my testimony, but that's all of our testimonies here. And maybe you've never done drugs, you've never done alcohol, you can't relate to some of our testimonies, that's okay. We all have a testimony. You know, the young lady who shared, I mean, for 8 years, I remember I suffered with bulimia, for years struggling with just different bondages and emotional disorders that I was going through. When I came in Teen Challenge, it was then and only then that I found freedom from the life that had kept me snared and in bondage for years. So maybe you're here today and you can't relate to our testimonies, but you have a testimony, amen? Because every single one of us, we didn't come to Christ one day because we had it all together and things were going great, amen? We didn't come to Christ because we were like, you know, my life is pretty perfect. I mean, there's really not much going wrong in my life, so let me just add this perfect God to my already perfect life. No, we all came to Christ because we had a need. And what was that need? The need wasn't for better schools. It wasn't for a larger bank account. It wasn't for a better healthcare system or a welfare system. We had a need for a Savior. And thank God that 2,000 years ago, when God looked down upon us and you, he said that our greatest need is a Savior. And that's what makes Teen Challenge so successful. And that's what makes us so unique and so powerful. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Pastor Willie Ramos, our executive director, or our founding president, Pastor Jimmy Jack. And thank God for them, because our ministry wouldn't be where it is today without those men of God. But it has nothing to do with them. But it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Because when you yield and you surrender and you give your life to the hands of a merciful, of a gracious, and a caring God, there is nothing that God can't do. And we stand here today with hundreds of years of broken addiction, and we desire for God to continue to use us and to bless us and to continue to finish the work that he started in our lives. So what I want to do before I turn the mic back over to Pastor, I again, just on behalf of our ministry, want to thank you so much for allowing us to be here today and just to share just a little bit, a glimpse of what God is doing. And please, on your way out today, please visit our table in the back. We would love to just chat with you, share what God is doing. We'd love to be of help and of service to you. We continue to covet your prayers, your support, and thank you for your pastor. I know he's not here today, but just thank him for allowing us this opportunity to come. But I want to just pray with you if I could. How many of you here have a need? Something heavy upon your heart. Maybe you've been standing in a gap believing for the restoration of a marriage, or a son or a daughter who's gone astray. Or maybe you can relate with the snares of addiction, because it's wreaked havoc in your life. Well, whatever your need is here today, we want to pray with you. Amen? And we want to just lift you up, as I know you guys have been doing so faithfully for our ministry as well. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. God, at Point Lookout Community Church, thank you, God, for these men and women who have upheld our ministry, God, through financial support, through prayers, God, over the many years. Thank you for the leadership here. God, thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing in and through this church. But Father, I pray for every individual within the sound of my voice here this morning. Father, we serve a God of the impossible, a God of the miraculous, We serve Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And I know that there are many here, God, that have burdens, that have cares, concerns, and needs that are weighing heavy upon their hearts. So, Father, I lift them up to you this morning. Father, I pray that, Lord, they would truly learn to embrace your words, which tells us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, meet every need. Bless every individual here. God, touch us. We pray that 2016, God, would truly be a year of jubilee. God, that you would bless your people. Father, that you would bring us to new levels of our intimacy and our walk with you. Father, that you would open up doors, God, in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our schools, God, in our communities, God, like never before. Father, as we look around this world, God, we see that things are changing, and unfortunately not for the better, for the worse. But God, thank you that as your word tells us, that we serve a God who changeth not. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he will always be the same. We thank you, God, that you are our anchor, our hope, our strong tower. God, and you're the one that we can turn to in times of difficulty. So, Father, we look to you today. We thank you. We love you. We praise you for the indescribable gift in Jesus. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. God, we're here today because of that gift. We owe it all to you. We love you. Just give it to you. Amen. Thank you so much. We love you guys.